What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google. What's up, Virtually Limitless Entrepreneurs? Today I'm here with my man Nathan Hirsch. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about what you do and why you do it, my man?
Yeah, so I'm a longtime entrepreneur. I started back in 2008. I started as a broke college kid. My parents were both teachers, and I scaled up an Amazon business back before Amazon was really popular, before the gurus, the courses, and all of that. So I got in at a really good time. I had no idea what I was doing. I started off with books, eventually got into baby products through trial and error, and it was really tough to hire people when I needed to scale that business. I mean, I looked around me, and it was college kids who I learned from experience were very unreliable. I wasn't their top priority, and no one out in the real world wanted to work for a 20-year-old entrepreneur, no matter how big my business was. So I got thrown into the remote hiring world, Upworks, Fiverr's, and I always just wanted a better, faster way, and I kept looking and looking for a better hiring platform, and I couldn't find it. So 4 years ago, I launched FreeUp, and I really tried to take everything that I liked about the other platforms, change everything I didn't like, and I ended up focusing on four things: pre-vetting freelancers before they get on the platform, speed, introducing freelancers to people quickly when they just put in a request and we matched them, customer service, great support on the back end, 24/7, and a no turnover guarantee. If someone quits for any reason, FreeUp would cover replacement costs, get them a new person right away. So that was the focus of FreeUp: the pre-vetting, the speed, the customer service, and the protection. I started it with $5,000. By year four, we were doing over $12 million a year in revenue. And I actually sold it 30 days ago to an amazing group at the Hoth. We were acquired by them. The Hoth was actually a FreeUp client who loved FreeUp so much. And we're really pumped about that. And we think it's going to be a win for everyone. And now that I'm a little bit out and I'm wrapping up that transition period, I'm launching Outsource School. If you go to outsourceschool.com, and it's going to be an education platform to help people learn how to onboard, train, manage, interview virtual assistants, and really find reliable ones that can hang around for years to come.
Awesome, man. That's a lot. So you recently sold your business.
Yeah, I sold FreeUp.
Yeah, was that a hard decision?
Definitely. I mean, I put my heart and soul into FreeUp for 4 years. I love FreeUp. I still love FreeUp. And we didn't go into this year saying, oh my God, we got to get it sold by the end of the year. One of our clients, the Hoth, reached out to us. And like any business opportunity, we heard them out and they made a very aggressive offer. And we did due diligence. We did as much due diligence on them, if not more, than they did on us. We wanted to make sure that if we were selling our baby, like you said, to someone, that they weren't buying it to destroy it. They were buying it to build it and scale it and make it better and make sure that the clients and the partners, the freelancers, the internal team were taken care of. And we really felt that they had the same core values, beliefs of treating their internal people right, of customer service, of just growth. I mean, Connor, my business partner, and I have never scaled the business from $10 to $50 million a year. So we'd be entering uncharted territory with thousands of people depending on us. We wanted to make sure that if that was what we were going to do, that there weren't alternative options that made more sense. And we felt like selling to them was the right decision. We were able to take hundreds of thousands of dollars from the sale, give it to our internal teams in the Philippines, make sure that they're taken care of. They put their heart and soul into FreeUp. And we wanted to make sure that they knew how valuable we felt like they are. And they all got to keep their jobs and hopefully have even more stability and more of a long-term future. So we felt really good about that, although we'll miss them a ton. And I'm still very good friends with all of them. But yeah, very tough decision, not easy. It was a very stressful 4 months, but all you can do is make what you think is the best decision with all the information we have and at the time. And we feel like it's going to be a win-win-win for everyone. And we've also really enjoyed working with them. We're at the end of our 60-day transition, and it's gone better than I could have even imagined. We love their team. We love working with them. They've already brought new ideas to the table that Connor and I never would have even thought of and been able to implement systems and processes. So we're really excited for it.
That's awesome. So in the end, everybody ended up winning on that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of time to go, and there's lots of factors internally and externally, things you can control, things you can. And I mean, one thing that I said is, if I'm going to sell this thing, I can't just regret it for the rest of my life. I have to be at peace with their decision. And like I said, I think we made the best decision with all the information we had, and that it is going to end up being a win-win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And I really respect the fact that you took all of that into consideration, and that you took all of your workers into consideration, and just everything involved, because there are a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners out there who really wouldn't have even let that cross their mind.
Yeah. And there was a shock factor too. There was a lot of emotions when we told them. I mean, I've been working with some of these VAs for 10 plus years on both businesses. I'm the godfather of one of their kids. Like, we have a great relationship, and it was emotional. But once we laid out the facts, the money, the stability, that no one's losing their jobs, why we did it. And once they got to meet the Hoth team, who's awesome, Mackenzie, Matt, Brandon, Garrett, who have treated them so well since they started and made them feel like they continue to be an important part of the business, and running everything by them before they implement it to make sure they're good with it, and treating the team leaders with the same respect that we did. I checked in with them this week, and they're like, Nate, this is awesome. Like, we really love all the changes. We're excited for the future of FreeUp. And so being able to go to change it from they're emotional, they're sad, they're worried, they're concerned for their stability, to we're now excited for the future and we understand why you made that decision. That was definitely a relief off my back.
That's awesome. So real quick, before we dive into the outsourcing and where to find VAs and all that fun stuff, like, what were you doing, like, when you were in college, before you started your business, and like, how did you find your way into the entrepreneurial world?
Yeah, so my parents made me get a summer job from the time I was 15 and up. I was working 40, 50 hours a week, and I learned a ton about sales and marketing and business in general, managing people, but I also learned how much I hated it. And I had really two internships. One of them was an unofficial internship, but I had a connection to the CEO through my mom. And it was at the Aaron's Corporation, which is kind of like a rent-a-center. So although it was an internship, I was really just on the sales floor doing tasks. And every once in a while, the CEO would meet with me and teach me a little bit of a lesson and stuff like that. And then more of my time was as an intern at the Firestone Corporation, which was a real internship program. And again, I got to work under a lot of different managers and learn from them as well. So that's what I was doing going into college. I had, they transferred me from the Massachusetts office to the Connecticut office, which was close to my school. And that's what I was doing. And so I had all this money saved up. I say all this money, but it was really a few thousand dollars at the time from working these summer jobs. And I noticed the school bookstore was ripping me off. I was paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for textbooks. I was selling it back to them at pennies for a dollar. And I said, you know what? I can make more money selling it myself to different distributors. And why not help out all my friends? I'll be able to make out a little bit of money out of it. So I said, hey, sell me your books. I'll offer you more than the bookstore. Yes, I'm going to make a markup, but it's going to be a reasonable profit that I get for doing the work of packaging and shipping the products. And people loved it. And I created a little referral program where people could tell their friends and make money. And people started telling the whole school. Now, before I knew it, I have lines out the door of people trying to sell me their books, to the point where I get a cease and desist letter from my college telling me to knock it off because I was stealing too much of the bookstore's business. So there I am as a little bit in shock. My parents are both teachers. I didn't want to get kicked out of college. That would have sucked. That would not have gone over very well with them. So I pivot, and I had sold some of these books on Amazon. Like I said, this was 2008. No one knew what Amazon was. Amazon was becoming just a little bit more than a bookstore. And so I started experimenting with stuff that I was really familiar with: sporting equipment, video games, computers. And I just kept trying and trying and failing and failing. All I could get to sell were these books, until I finally came across a deal on baby products. I listed baby products, they sold. I listed more, they sold. I braced myself for returns and refunds and complaints, and those never came in, and I really scaled it up from there.
That's awesome, man. So sounds to me like you're just good at finding markets and then taking advantage of them.
It's funny. So I've never really like followed gurus. I've never really taken a major course or anything like that. I try to stay as far away from the mainstream as possible. I mean, I got in Amazon before the gurus, out of Amazon once all the gurus and the course and all that came. I got into building FreeUp, like, as outsourcing. I feel outsourcing was around before FreeUp, but it was just blowing up. And I feel like that now it's much more well-known. I still think FreeUp is in a great position to succeed and flourish. But now I feel like I can even continue to build on that and join the education space and helping people with outsourcing, where I don't think there's that much either competition or people doing it at the level that I want to do it. So who knows? I could be wrong. Like any other business, we have to read the market, like you said, and we might launch Outsource School and people might love the courses and they might hate the courses. And depending on what people think, we'll decide what the next steps are if we move on to other things. But we're really excited about it. And we think it is something that people have been asking me for years to launch a course on using VAs. And I just haven't had the time because I've been focused on building the marketplace.
Yeah. And I know I get questions all the time on how to outsource and where to find virtual assistants and all that. And most people really just don't really know where to go, or they think they're going to go on Fiverr and they're going to find, and they're just going to have a bad experience or something. And they just don't know where to start.
Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, keep going.
Well, so since we're here now, like where do you start when you're looking for virtual assistants?
I mean, in terms of where do I start, I go to FreeUp. I mean, yeah. OutsourceSchool.com is now a client of FreeUp. I negotiated a lifetime discount. We just hired our first person there a few days ago. So I really practice what I preach. I strongly believe that FreeUp is the best marketplace there. But if we're just talking about not where to go to get the people, because you should go to FreeUp, more of the mindset, look at your numbers. Look at how much that you made last month and figure out how aggressive or how conservative you want to be. If you want to be more aggressive, maybe it's 40, 60% of your profits. If it's more conservative, maybe it's 10 to 30%. I tend to be in that 25, 30% range. I feel like that's a good investment back into your business. And then figure out, hey, what are the tasks that I do the most that are the easiest, that are the lowest value? If you're doing bookkeeping 20 hours a month, probably one of the first things you want to take off your plate. We're hiring a bookkeeper for Outsource School. I learned a very valuable lesson with both my businesses before that don't do bookkeeping at the beginning of your business. Hire someone to just do it and let you focus on growing your business. Same thing with social media. We're going to hire a social media VA. For me, as the owner of the company, to spend time posting on all different channels, not a great use of my time. Eventually hiring a VA to help me with admin tasks in the morning when I wake up, or for customer service. So identify what those tasks are, and then you can get into more of the interviewing, onboarding, training that we'll talk about in our first course for Outsource School that we call IOTM, which is interviewing, onboarding, training, and managing, which is really the key to not only finding reliable VAs, but keeping them around long term, which is what I'm all about.
Absolutely. It's definitely a pain when you bring someone on and you get them working, you get your system moving, and then all of a sudden there's a break in the chain because they move on or whatever the situation may be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is we had less than 5% turnover at FreeUp on our internal team. And that's because we treated people well. We built relationships. We motivated them. We got them to buy into the business. And we also communicated well. We had meetings and set goals. And yes, it was a fun family environment, but we also had incredibly high expectations, and we found people who liked that and thrived on that. So we'll be talking about all of that in our IOTM course. And I think there's a lot of secrets that we can share on how we built such a great team.
That's awesome. So what are a few of the questions that you ask whenever you're vetting some virtual assistants?
Yeah, good question. I always ask them about their internet and their power situation. I want to know exactly what's going on there. I like to ask them what they do if a weekend's coming up and they didn't get a project done by a certain amount of time. Let's say it was due on Friday and Friday comes around and it's 5 p.m. and they don't have it done, because I want to know what type of person they are. Are they someone that's picking it back up on Monday? Are they someone that's working through the weekend, extending hours on Friday, whatever it is, how they're going to communicate that? I like to ask them about their past clients and what they liked and what they didn't like, what they're actually looking for. And I think one of the biggest things that you want to figure out early on is what motivates that particular person, because for everyone, it's different. They could be a stay-at-home mom and their motivation is stability for their kids. They could be someone who's motivated by their role and they want to become a leader. And if they don't become a leader at a certain point, they're going to get bored. They're not going to like it. They could be motivated by money, and maybe you want to avoid people like that. So figuring out what actually motivates them is one of the most important things you can do when you're asking questions.
That makes sense. Once you know what they're actually want, that what they actually want, then you can keep them around, which is what you mentioned before.
Exactly.
So what are some other tips that you can give us for managing a VA once you bring them on? Because, like, what do you need to have together before you bring one on, I guess, is a better question.
So you need a rough draft of your standard operating procedures. I always say that an SOP is kind of like a living, breathing document. You want to get them a rough draft, but you want them to help make it better. You want them to take screenshots. You want them to create videos. You want them to add in that text or those instructions that you missed. So when I give an SOP to someone, I want them to own it, but that SOP has to be clear enough where they understand it from the beginning. And if you don't have systems and processes that you know work for you, you can't just hire a VA and say, hey, handle my Twitter, or hire a VA and say, hey, go find me leads. You need to have an SOP, something that if you went through it, you'd be able to have success and clearly know what to do, and then they can make it better. You also need some kind of structure for meetings, and this is something that we'll cover in the course. We'll give you the exact templates that we use for our weekly Monday morning meetings to get everyone on the same page, our one-on-one quarterly meetings where we give people a little bit of a bonus, we thank them, we motivate them, we challenge them, and even just team meetings throughout the week. So we would have that Monday morning meeting. We would also have the accounting meeting, the customer service meeting, and how you run stuff like that. So really getting on the same page with what motivates them, which we talked about, being able to figure out, being able to meet with them and challenge them and keep them there, and writing good SOPs so you can give them something right from the beginning, are some quick tips to help you have more success.
Awesome. So once you're bringing on a virtual assistant, are there any tools or apps or anything that you recommend for communicating or managing them that work best for the ones that are outside of the country?
Yeah, so I like to keep it simple. Again, practicing what I preach. And it's funny, the Hoth came in and they started adding in things like Slack and GrooveHQ and awesome. Like I learned a ton just from going through that. But for me, I kept it simple. I use Skype, I use Trello, I use Viber and WhatsApp, I use email. And I like to set up three communication channels. So you've got a day-to-day, whether it's Skype or Slack or Google Hangout or whatever you like. So that's how you have meeting. That's how you talk to people. I like to have a respond within 24 hours or next time you work. So that would be email. And then an emergency. So a Viber or WhatsApp, or if I need to get a hold of someone and they're not working, I can do it. Or if they are working and I'm not by my computer, I can still talk to them. So yeah, even though you could download on your Skype on your phone, I prefer not to do that. But setting up a few different communication channels and really making sure that they understand what each channel is for, that's key.
That's valuable. I never would have really thought about the importance of having that many different communication channels, actually.
Absolutely.
So I know you probably got a lot going on, so I'm going to start kind of wrapping it up a little bit. If you could go back and have a conversation with yourself before you ever started a business, what would you make sure that you knew and understood?
That business is about people and relationships. I mean, I learned sales from Firestone, but I also had a manager that really stressed people out. So that's kind of how I learned management, is to kind of be over the top, micromanaging, like talking down to someone like a boss. And I learned in my first few years of the Amazon business that didn't really work. Now, with the Amazon business, I had to call manufacturers and pitch them, but that was somewhat easy. Whenever you're pitching someone to make them more money, it's a little bit different. But when I got to FreeUp, I mean, the first year of FreeUp, it was pitch, pitch, pitch. Like I would go on podcasts and that was my goal. Whereas now going on podcasts, it's building relationships. Like I love building a relationship with you and other people that I've been able to talk to. And same thing with just setting up networking calls, where my objective isn't to make them buy a package or sign up on FreeUp. It's to get to know them and hopefully provide value to them. And with clients, whether they were super tiny clients on FreeUp or big ones or partners or someone that wasn't ever going to use FreeUp, I still wanted to help them in the same way. So I think that's the biggest thing that I've matured at over the years, is kind of valuing the relationships over everything else. Because if you have the relationships, everything else kind of comes. Like you're going to get referrals, you're going to get talked about, opportunities to go on podcasts, like all that stuff kind of happens without you having to do it. But if you're in full sell mode, you don't get those relationships. And yeah, you might get a quick sale here or there, but you're kind of missing the long-term picture. So that's the biggest thing that I try to teach my young self.
That makes sense, man. Like that's really what it's all about, is just the relationships. And one of the biggest things that we say around the Better Leads Academy is we all win when we all win. And I think that, and I feel like the way you operate, you very much like define that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a perfect example of this is I know you had to reschedule a few times for the podcast, and I've had that situation with me, and I've had people, because I had a podcast with Fripp, and I had people that were like super rude about it, people who like didn't understand that stuff happened. And for me, it's like, it's no big deal. Like, life is life. Stuff happens. I've gotten sick before. I've had personal stuff before. It all happens. And kind of looking past like what's best for me and try, and obviously that's a super small example that has nothing to do with anything, but just the idea that you never want to get aggressive towards anyone. You never want to put anyone down or put yourself in a position where someone looks bad at you. You want to do the best you can every single day. If you make a mistake, you own up to it, you make it right to the best of your ability, and you move on with life. And that's kind of my mentality.
Absolutely. And it definitely pays off the majority of the time.
Right.
So what's the best way to see more of you and get involved with you?
Yeah, go to outsourceschool.com. You can join an awesome newsletter we're putting together each week with virtual assistant tips. You'll be first to know when our first course launches. You can find me on social media, Nathan Hirsch, Real Nate Hirsch, on Twitter and Instagram, and definitely follow me there. I try to put out content every day. And yeah, really appreciate it. I'm happy to connect with anyone that reaches out.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. And at the end of this video, real quick, I just want to make a point. When I was getting ready to do this, there's two places in this complex that are quiet that I can go to. I can do my interviews, because when I'm here, Sid and Tiffany, they're upstairs. They're doing sales calls. Tiffany's coaching in the room. There's not really a quiet place up there. But today it was time to do the interview with Nathan. I was running down there. There were other people doing business calls in both the places that I can go that are quiet. So here I am standing in Sid and Tiffany's kitchen recording my podcast interview. And the point of all that I'm trying to make is it doesn't have to be perfect. When you're building a business and when you're putting a brand together, everything doesn't have to be perfect. You can do it without perfection. So just don't overthink it. Just let it happen.
Absolutely, man. Definitely a good lesson.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.